I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello and welcome back to the EPL Roundtable. I'm your host, Kevin DeVries, and as always, if you'd like to reach us at the podcast, you can do so by either tweeting us at EPL Roundtable or emailing us at eplroundtable@gmail.com. All right, we are joined by Stephen Clark today. You can find him on Twitter at StephenClarkCFC. We're here to talk about all things Chelsea. This is kind of our first show of the quote-unquote off-season, although it increasingly feels like there isn't an off-season in football, well, with the Copa America and the Gold Cup and the Women's World Cup, etc. But there's been a lot happening at Chelsea since we last spoke, Stephen, so we figured we'd get you on to go through a lot of it. The first of all, chronologically at least, was your win in the Europa League, securing yourself an extra Champions League spot, which you had already done domestically by finishing third. There was a lot of controversy surrounding the final based on the location, fan attendance, which naturally plummeted because apparently their airport couldn't handle all of the fans. But just kind of take us through the mindset of a Chelsea fan heading into and out of that match.
Yeah, I guess so. Obviously, it was a massive match for us. You know, there was a lot of talk saying that, you know, Chelsea didn't really have anything to play for, that it was kind of Arsenal's match and it was really important for them to get top four. But, you know, just from a competitive aspect, this game was always massive to the fans. You know, playing against Arsenal in a European final, potentially Hazard's last game, really wanted to see him out with a win and a trophy. You know, it's really important for how we look at Sarri's season at the end, I think. And also, I think it changed us from pot three in the Champions League to pot one now, which will be super helpful going into next season. We can avoid teams like, you know, Real Madrid, PSG, those kind of things. So, I think it was a really important game for us. And, you know, obviously there was all the hubbub surrounding the fans not being able to get to Baku, which just seemed like an absolute disaster. You know, even from the Chelsea side of things, it seemed crazy that Mkhitaryan wasn't going to be playing and are even traveling with the squad. It just seemed like a real shambles of a final, to be honest. But I'm really glad that we were the team that showed up. And I think that the team did us proud, especially in the second half. I think we got to see a lot of the fruits of what Sarri's been working on all season. And it all came to the fold in a really great way. And I'm so, so glad that Hazard got the send-off that he's deserved, because he really has been the heartbeat of this entire team this season.
Yeah, I'm surprised you left out Chelsea hero Rob Green, who the club even sent out a tweet basically to that effect as he retired as well. But yes, Chelsea obviously dominated that match from start to finish. Hazard was just sublime. Giroud came back to bite Arsenal, which we kept predicting would happen and then finally happened on a stage where, like you said, Arsenal had to win and did not. So obviously, congratulations are in order for you picking up that trophy. You mentioned Hazard picking up a trophy in his final match. That is because he has now been sold to Real Madrid, so kind of keeping the timeline intact. Let's talk about his time at Chelsea. What did you make of his whole tenure, from showing up as a baby-faced Belgian to ending up as one of the better Premier League players of the past decade?
Yeah, I mean, what can I really say about Eden Hazard that hasn't been said? You know, this guy's just been the absolute perfect picture of a professional, not only just on the pitch, you know, always giving his best, you know, always fighting for the team, pretty much carrying us to everything that we've won in the past kind of 7 years that he's been at the club. And it's just incredible the impact that he's had. Like, I think that it feels really surreal to Chelsea fans right now. Like, I still can't quite fathom the fact that he's not a player of Chelsea, that I won't see him walk out wearing the blue again. It's going to be really strange watching him walk out for Real Madrid, that's for sure. But I think the one important thing is that, you know, he leaves with the support of the fans, you know, with the love of the fans. He's, you know, nothing that he's ever will do will ever kind of erase what he's done for Chelsea. And I think that he's, you know, in all honesty, I think that he's going to go down as one of the best Premier League players. And also, I think that he's probably ends up being Chelsea's third best player, probably behind John Terry and Frank Lampard, honestly. I think that he's right up there. Even, You know, you can say what Drogba did in the finals, and you know, but I think to just the classiness, I think he's probably the best player technically that Chelsea have ever had.
Yeah, he was obviously just fantastic. Do you think he's kind of behind the Lampard and Terry thing just because he's not English?
It's interesting. I think the Terry thing is definitely more of like a kind of a maybe like a it's more due to the fact of how much we loved him and, you know, the longevity and that sort of thing. I think Lampard has a genuine debate to be up there with the quality of Eden Hazard, just obviously two completely different players. But I think that just the amount of goals and assists that Frank Lampard scored and, you know, helped with out with the team and the amount of trophies and that sort of thing, I think that he unquestionably stands up there on his own as being one of the best midfielders of his generation. So I think that he deserves that spot to be fighting out. But yeah, I guess the longevity and maybe the fact that they're English definitely doesn't hurt them.
Yeah, with the standing of the fans, that makes sense. Obviously, this year, statistically, you were kind of talking about the goals and assists of Lampard there. This was Hazard's best in terms of goals and assists. A lot of people labeling this his best season, which is pretty inarguable as an individual. But with lifting the Europa League, just getting top four, and having a marquee individual season, do you think this is the best season that he's had at Chelsea, or do you think there was a better one based on other merits?
Yeah, so I think that I agree with what you say there. Like, it's pretty much inarguable that this season is his best via, you know, all the goals, the assists, the general play. I think that he was fantastic. Probably the other season I would say was the first season we won the league under Mourinho when Mourinho came back for the second time around. I think that season he just seemed to be on a whole nother level. You know, we were playing like an attacking football the first 6 months of the season. And I think he was just on fire that year and he kind of carried the team to everything. And I think that they probably had a good chance of going for the Champions League that year as well, but they messed it up as well. So yeah, I think that was probably maybe his best season overall, but I think this is a very close second. I think he's been insane this season just because I think that he's had to do it all himself this season. He hasn't really had the help of anyone else. Whereas, you know, he had Fabregas and Costa and, you know, like a younger Willian back in those days. But this season it's been all Hazard. You know, he's had Loftus-Cheek's probably been his closest contributor, but you know, he's really had to deal and with people like Morata and Higuain rather than get support from them. So I think that this is it'll just go to show how impressive the season's been that we've made third position in the league, because seriously, without him, we'd be not even in with a sniff.
Yeah, a lot of players regressed and the striker position was never really figured out this season. So you needed Hazard to be at his best, and he certainly was. Although with him departing, I feel like a lot of people are looking back on his tenure as a shining example of what he's been as a player, both on and off the pitch this whole time. But for me, to get the full picture, I do think we need to discuss the one big blemish on his career at Chelsea and on the whole, which was the 2015-16 season when Chelsea finished, what was it, 9th or 10th? So odd to see the club drift all the way that low, multiple players accused of giving up on the squad. Just curious in hindsight, what you made of that situation and Hazard's role in it.
Yeah. I that season, as you say, was just an absolute anomaly. I genuinely couldn't believe what was happening before my eyes for most of that entire year. And I think that we probably won't know the ins and outs of everything that happened in, you know, for at least another
until
probably
the books
decade.
Come out.
until all the books come out, you know, we get the Eva Canero story and we get the Jose Mourinho side of things. But I think they've all been sworn to secrecy for now. From my perspective on Hazard, that season definitely wasn't his best season. I think that he was pretty ineffective. You know, there was times where he was being asked to play effectively like a left midfield position instead of a left winger position, forced to track back a lot. I think that Mourinho really, I think that Hazard's real only issue at Chelsea has been that he's played under such defensive managers for basically his entire career at Chelsea. And I think that it's really kind of hindered. I think we've never seen quite like the maximum potential of Eden Hazard, which sounds crazy just because he's going to go down as one of the best players of the club's history. I just don't think we ever really got the maximum Hazard, which, yeah, take that what you will. But yeah, that season, the big thing for me was that a lot of people don't talk about this, but he was injured for a fair bit of that season. You know, especially during that kind of Christmas period where we lost to Leicester and Mourinho got sold, got fired. He suffered a fairly bad injury, and he actually missed about 3 months of that season. So I think that didn't help his numbers, because, you know, everyone talks about how he went like a whole year without scoring in the Premier League, which, you know, obviously doesn't look good. But I think there were so many circumstances to why that happened, and I think the whole team, yeah, that was just one of those seasons where everything caught up with us and where we just didn't have the mental strength or, you know, the fortitude to turn anything around. And, it was just a bad season all around. That obviously Hazard wasn't able to turn around himself, but, you know, I guess, can we say he can't do it all the time. You know, he can't carry the entire club on his back all the time. So we kind of, as Chelsea fans, like that one slide a little bit, kind of saying, yeah, he was injured for a fair bit, but, you know, I think that he's done more than enough in my eyes to kind of warrant a season off.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Fair enough. And I don't think we'll see that from him again. It was just a weird circumstance. And it was obviously not just him. That whole club had themselves a year. But I just feel like that's important when getting the whole view, that there is that one kind of weird spot on his record. You mentioned, sorry, at the top of the show about some of the tactics finally kind of coming to fruition in the final. And Hazard finally lifting a trophy. Well, finally. Sorry, really. Getting his first ever medal as a manager. I'm sure everybody saw the images of him holding his medal. And even for the staunchest Tottenham fan, that was still a pretty adorable moment. That may have been his last action as Chelsea manager, because there's already rumors that he'll be leaving for Juventus. We kind of delayed this just a touch because we thought maybe it would be announced by now, but it isn't. But I'm sure it will be as soon as we post this. First of all, what did you make of Sarri's season this year grade-wise? Because we already discussed this some in the end-of-season review, but if you had to put a letter grade on the job he in particular did, what would you give it?
Yeah, I think I would give it a B or a B-. I think that he did just about everything that I had expected, and then also did something that I hoped. I think that, you know, I expected us to do well in the Europa League. I think that he outdid himself in the league, because I think that I was expecting us to finish fourth behind Tottenham and we finished third. So I think he deserves credit there, especially, you know, considering that Tottenham were considered to have such a great season, but wasn't really better than Chelsea's season. I guess we'll have to have that debate. But winning the Europa League, I think, is special, and making it to another final, you know, just keeping that Chelsea tradition up of, you know, making finals and doing well in all competitions. I think that he's done well. And, you know, I think that we've actually, probably the best thing that we've seen from him, really, this kind of goes unspoken, is that, you know, not a lot of people actually talk about this, but the dynamic has changed. Like, Chelsea have now gone from, for the probably the last 10 years at least, we've been talking about Chelsea's, you know, boring football, play on the counter, very defensive, kind of tactically stubborn. And I think that not enough people are talking about the fact that there has been this kind of mood shift. You know, the tactics have changed. We are now we're not free flowing as like a Man City or a Liverpool, but we are attacking. And I think that he deserves a lot of credit for that.
For you, should he be the manager of Chelsea Football Club next season?
In one word, yes. I think that he's earned enough. He's earned the respect of me and, you know, most level-headed fans. you know, I wouldn't call myself a sorry Easter or that or anything like that. But I definitely think that he's done enough to earn my respect and yeah. But you know, at the same time, I don't really blame him if he does want to go, because I think that Chelsea are just incredibly in turmoil. And I think if he gets out now, he gets out with his reputation still intact. I think that he gets to leave with his head held high, and he can kind of look back and say, well, anything that went wrong wasn't necessarily my fault. And I think that if he stays next season, to be honest, it's kind of a suicide.
Yeah. And like we said, he gets his first trophy. He also gets you guys a trophy to kind of keep your impressive run of winning cups intact as well. So yeah, it worked out for all parties. But again, it does seem as though he is Juventus bound. And I will say, if he goes to Juventus and succeeds, I can't help but imagine some Chelsea fans will be like, oh, he was good. He'll be like, yeah, of course he was. Did you see Napoli?
It's going to be so frustrating.
Yeah, it'll be very silly. But again, with the winds clearly blowing in the he's leaving direction, who do you think would be some of the other candidates that you'd be considering for that role?
Yeah, from what I've been told, it pretty much is official. And I would expect to see it almost done, if not by the time this podcast comes out, not too long after. And yeah, as far as the candidates to replace Sarri, you know, the big one is Frank Lampard, which, you know, it's exciting and it's interesting and it's worrying all at once.
Would it have been less worrying if Ole Gunnar Solskjaer had done better down the backstretch of the season?
You know, I don't want to take a pop at Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, because I think that he did well when he first took over. But I think it's a very different situation, actually. I think that, you know, Solskjaer is an intelligent man, I feel. But for me, Frank Lampard has always been this kind of scholar of the game. Even when he was playing, he's kind of had this era of someone whose game isn't necessarily built on technique, but it's built on just intelligence and tactical aptitude and kind of just this ability to kind of to just be able to adapt to anything. And I think that he's the longevity at Chelsea. And throughout his career has kind of proved that. And I think that he's always been someone who I've considered a really exciting kind of prospect. I know a lot of people will talk about John Terry because he's kind of the more traditional leader. You know, he's the passionate one. He's the kind of charismatic one of the two. And I think that a lot of people thought that he would be the natural kind of future leader for the club. But I really think that Lampard is everything that Chelsea kind of needs. You know, you can probably say it's a little too early, which I would also say. I think that maybe he needs another 2 to 3 years to really hone down on what being a manager is. But in terms of the man, Frank Lampard, I think he is pretty much perfect to spearhead this Chelsea revolution. And I'm excited by it, but, you know, a little worried that it's come a tad too early.
Yeah, it does seem he's the only really leading candidate for the job. On our full review that will either have come out before or after this for the full Premier League season, Dave did mention Erik ten Hag as an option from Ajax, which would be really interesting for this kind of youth revolution that it seems Chelsea are finally going to be able to have. But we'll use that as the transition into the transfer ban. You were telling me before the show that you aren't actually trying to get the freeze anymore, that you're just appealing the actual decision, which there is very much evidence of, so that looks pretty unlikely. Do you think that this is kind of just going through the motions a bit?
Oh yeah, 100%. In my opinion, like you said, that we've appealed to CAS, but not to freeze the ban this summer, but instead to try and get the ban overturned completely, which it seems very unlikely at this stage because it's progressed to this point. So there's obviously some merit in what FIFA have said. It's not come out of nowhere. We've known that we've been doing some interesting things with parents and youth players for many years now. But yeah, it seems like the club's just trying to keep up appearances with this thing. Seems like they're trying to appeal it and trying to save face a little bit, because if they denied it, then they would effectively be admitting guilt, which, you know, isn't great when you're breaking the laws of FIFA and football. But I guess the other thing that is frustrating is that now we're, I think, well, by not appealing the freeze of the ban, it kind of does save us from facing kind of an extension of the ban, because I think if we were to freeze or attempt to freeze the ban, we could be viewed from FIFA and by CAS as trying to trying to essentially like delay the ban, which is a no-go.
Yeah, so it'll be interesting to see what happens, but it does look very likely that it will be upheld. And in our season review, I was saying that I actually thought that would be a good thing for Chelsea with all of the youth you have at the club. You know, if Tammy comes back, if Michy Batshuayi comes back from his loan at Palace, you also have Loftus-Cheek, Hudson-Odoi, Reece James. You just get all of those players together and you have a good core at the back. You know, you have Christensen, if you brought through Ampadu. Like, you have this, like, actually, the timetable of success for a big group of your players that are at least owned by Chelsea are kind of aligned. But now all of a sudden, the transfer ban isn't postponed. It looks like it'll just happen. And now we have huge injuries with Hudson-Odoi, Loftus-Cheek, and with Reece James. Do you still think this kind of youth revolution-y idea will happen if that many of them are injured? Just how do you think you'll deal with all of that heading into the 2019-20 season?
Out of everything that has gone wrong for Chelsea in the last year or so, which I think is a lot, I think possibly the biggest annoying thing for Chelsea fans and biggest problem that's gone wrong is these three injuries at this time, because it really, really felt like this was the time. If there was ever a chance for these players to break through and there to be a core of Chelsea youth players in the first team squad, it was this coming season. You know, the transfer ban's here. The opportunity is there. We potentially could be having Frank Lampard and Jody Morris back at the club, who are some of the biggest pioneers of youth in the club. And for these three players to get such bad injuries as well, I think Reece James is pretty much confirmed as a broken ankle, which is going to mean 3 months out and possibly surgery. Then the Achilles injuries for both Loftus-Cheek and Hudson-Odoi, which means that, you know, they're not really going to be back at full fitness and full power until probably, honestly, November or December during the season. So it's really, really gutting for a Chelsea fan, especially because, in particular, Ruben Loftus-Cheek has really looked like he's one of the best players at the club at the moment. You know, it's not just a token, oh, he's a youth player, so we should give him a chance. He really, really has earned this. And I think that his opportunity has come, and I really, really hope that he can kind of overcome this injury as quickly as possible and get back into that first team, because he's so effective for us and I think we're going to need him. In terms of what you're saying about our youth players lining up in terms of like age and potential, I think that's a really good point. I actually think that I don't think the squad is in as dire straits as it was maybe a couple of years ago. I think that we kind of have an interesting core forming that can kind of in 2 to 3 years maybe reach their peak. People like Kepa, I think, is 24. I think that Christensen is 23. Loftus-Cheek is 23 as well. I think that's like a really strong spine there. And I think that, you know, there are a couple of loan players, people like Tammy Abraham, who are really interesting. I would personally give him a go because he literally can't be worse than Higuain and Morata this season. So we're talking about a guy in Tammy Abraham. Honestly, I think not enough people have put respect on this guy's name. You know, he's got over 60 career league goals at age 21. Yeah. Like, who else has that? You know, people talk about how Marcus Rashford is such a good player, but when Tammy and Marcus were doing at the same age at youth level, Tammy was outscoring this guy by like 25 goals a season. I think that, you know, are people really going to tell me that someone like Joe Gomez is a better player at that age than Reece James was? I don't think so. I think there's a real fear amongst the Chelsea hierarchy to give these guys a go. And it's basically unfounded because every other club does it. You know, Tottenham does it. And, you know, players of, like, no offense to these other clubs, but genuinely lesser quality. I think that some of these Chelsea players are potential generational talents. Not all of them, obviously. But, you know, there's three or four there that really, really, this could be the kind of Fergie's fledglings of Chelsea. And I would really, really hate us to pass this opportunity by.
Yeah, and I don't want to be a harbinger of bad news, but if you got them both back by December, I think that would be on the optimistic side of those recovery timetables. It's just a big blow. But like you said, the talent's been there, and this seems like the opportunity to get them involved. Just out of curiosity, kind of the back end of that, how many other players do you think would go if the transfer ban is confirmed to be happening. Like, people keep trying to throw random huge amounts of money at Willian for no reason based on clearly not his performances. Do you think him and some others might still go even if there's a transfer ban, or do you think you just kind of shut up shop and be like, we have who we have and go into the season like that?
Yeah, I was hoping that this season would kind of be, or this summer would kind of be used to get rid of a fair bit of the deadwood, you know, players like Willian, who deserve respect. You know, he's won two league titles at the club, but clearly not as good as he used to be. Clearly pretty ineffective today. You know, one of the oldest wingers in the league. I think that, yeah, I mean, I guess it's just, I wouldn't see many of these guys leaving, to be honest, probably like the likes of like Danny Drinkwater, Zappacosta, Cahill, you know, the guys who didn't get any game time at all this season, I would expect to leave. But the periphery guys like Willian and Pedro, who you might have expected to leave, I think with this transfer ban now means that they're going to be sticking around another season. And I think that just it's going to do us a lot of damage in the long term, because we're going to end up with a situation like Arsenal and like Man United, where we just have all these deadwood players on the team earning so much money that it's going to be really hard to bring in other players. And effectively, we're going to lose all the sell-on value because, you know, we could have sold Willian at the start of last summer for about, I think there was talk of like 60 million to Barcelona. Insanity. It's just club suicide, the fact that we didn't get rid of him. You know, if we don't sell Marcus Alonso this summer, I don't know what the club are doing, because this guy has no future in the first team. And, you know, if Atletico Madrid are desperate for defenders, I would snap your hand off for 30 mil right now.
Yeah, I'm sure. Tottenham don't want him now, by the way. That was a long time ago. No thanks. But anyway.
What about Willian? Can we tempt you?
Nah, that's all right. All good. anyway, Stephen, we really appreciate you coming on, talking all things Chelsea. It'll be really fascinating to see what happens between now and the start of the season and what actually happens next season. So appreciate you coming on and talking about it. Tell the folks where they can find you.
Great. Yeah, like Kevin mentioned at the start of the pod, you can find me at Stephen Clark CFC on Twitter. And I also have my own podcast now, which is the Anything and Everything podcast, which obviously, like the title, we talk about anything and everything.
Yeah, go check that out if you enjoy listening to Stephen on this show, for sure. An absolute pleasure speaking with you, and best of luck through what I'm sure will be a crazy summer.
Thanks, Kevin.